for millennia, the great saints and mystics have gazed on this mystery. God died in a human body to save us from eternal damnation. It's almost inconceivable God would do that. Even when you think that it's good that he be incarnate, you have to realize that laying open before God were a million possibilities. And in strict justice, just leaving us. But he wouldn't do that. And so, starting very early in the history of Israel, you have this awareness that God is going to set things straight. It took some time, you see, for them to figure out it had to be a human act. It had to be a human being somehow who would do this. And so, you see, we have these texts that the church has picked. We have this Isaiah 7, huh? And challenging Ahaz, who was a crook. Ask for a sign from the Lord your God. Ahaz, he doesn't want any signs. Why? Because if there's a sign, then you have to believe. If we had a very sick person right now come in here and we put them down there and we prayed over them and they got healed, you'd change, wouldn't you? My gosh, look! Okay. Ahaz didn't want any of that. He didn't want a sign because he didn't want to believe. And so that's why Isaiah says, "Listen, house of David, is it not enough to weary men? Must you also weary my God?" Because he won't ask for the sign. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and you shall call him Immanuel, God, Immanuel." You see? Which means God is with us. God is so with us that we're going to receive his body and blood in our bodies this morning. That's how much he's with us. You see? What the Lord did teach the Jewish people was, if it's going to take place in the human dimension, it's going to affect all of history. And salvation has to take, it can't just be, oh, could if you wanted to, oh, I forgive you all, but no. Forgiveness has to be worked in the very depth of the human being, the very depth of the human race. So, we have this Emmanuel prophecy. I wish we had time. One word I'm going to look at. The virgin shall conceive. See, the text says Ha'alma, which in Hebrew just means the young woman. But you can see, of course. But when the Septuagint people who put it into Greek, see, they realized that this was a woman with the aura of divinity surrounding her. And so he translated it into Greek, Parthenos, which is virgin, because there's something divine about the way this is all going to happen. A virgin will bear a child. So he read into the Hebrew text what was intended, as it were. There's two of them in this text. I know it's this morning, you all got to get to work, but these are important because you feel the undertow of the way God prepared us for the incarnation, for God to walk among us and actually to die for us. This is why it's such a big day. And then, you see, we have this psalm. "Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will." This is so beautiful. This psalm. And it's a big deal in the letter to the Hebrews. sacrifice or oblation you wish not. Now the psalm says, but ears open to obedience you gave me. But because it refers to the fact that if a Hebrew wants to become a slave of another, then the owner takes him out to the front porch and takes an awl and opens up his ear right here. That's a sign, from now on, you are to obey me, you're my slave now. But the translator knew that wouldn't make any sense in Greek, because they don't know that custom. So you notice, you see how the Holy Spirit is preparing us and having these texts written to help our poor minds? And so, you see, the psalm says, the letter to the Hebrews, you see? For this reason, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. He, this translator, moved by the Holy Spirit, knew where to take this text. It's not just you opened an ear for me, it's that you gave me a body so that your will can have a real human existence. Okay, so far? The mystery. God didn't want to just say, I forgive you all. He wanted to work forgiveness in the very depth of our nature. So one of us is God. And he's the one who died on the cross and put into the very depth of human nature, all of us. See, salvation. And that's why the letter to the Hebrews is quoting the Septuagint, not the Hebrew text. But you see how the Holy Spirit is getting people ready? And then we have this gospel. And we don't have time. But see, hail full of grace. Chere che cari domini. Rejoice, most favored one. Why rejoice? Gili! In Zechariah and Zephaniah, the address to daughter Zion starts off, rejoice, Gili! And so, when he comes, and that's the prophecies, messianic prophecies, I forgot to say that part. So, he comes and he says here, Gili Miriam. You see? Adonai Mach, the Lord is with you. Gili, why? She knows right away why, because she knows the scriptures. These are the prophecies. Gili, 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 rejoice. Why? Because God has finally come to help us. And so, of course, she was greatly troubled, but why say that to me? You know? Though, of course, there she is in such a deep, already transforming union with God, and she's consecrated her virginity to God, a thing no Jewish woman would ever do. She wants to be the mother of the Messiah. And so she did it. You see? And so you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Yehoshua. You know, God saves. That'll be the name of your son. Can you imagine this totally pure, profound, the most intelligent mind that God ever created? She's getting it all. She knows these prophecies. She's getting it. You see? And you shall name him Yehoshua. That's the one who's going to save. Huh? He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, because he is. You see? And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father. No more doubt, right? Because the Messiah is going to be Ben David, right? He's going to be the son of David. And so, you see, Our Lady, you know, She's agreeing, but she's saying, how can this be? Since I don't know man, I'm engaged or married, you know, I'm engaged to be married, but I don't know man and I will not know man. And so then the angel talks again. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. This is the Holy Spirit who overshadowed creation, right? And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over all chaos. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now he says, let there be incarnation, and there's incarnation. Because the Spirit is hovering over her. This is the Spirit that hovered over the ark, right? Now she's the ark of the covenant. Because she carries the Torah in her body. And so, and Elizabeth has already conceived. It's just 6 months for her. For nothing will be impossible with God. That's the last of the allusions in the text. I had to skip a lot of them because, well, we don't have all day. But I can't skip this one. This is where Sarah hears, in her old age, she's going to conceive. And she laughs. Ha! The angel said, don't laugh. She said, I didn't laugh. He said, you did laugh. You remember that? And then he said, you're going to find out nothing is impossible with God. That's what this woman, conceiving by the power of God, is told, though the conception will be in the normal course of events. But this woman is told, you will conceive virginally because you fulfill Sarah. Now, this is the one God promised to Abraham. Right. Lech lecha, go. I'll show you where. I'll make of you a great nation. And people will bless themselves in your name. Huh? And finally that comes down to what? Everybody will be blessed because a son of Abraham is God and died in an act of love on the cross and saved us from eternal damnation. That's who he is, you see. So this illusion, nothing is impossible with God. The angel is telling that to Sarah, and this angel is telling that to Mary. Don't worry. Nothing is impossible for God. Now her whole spirit is at rest. She still doesn't know much, but she trusts God, and she's willing to just go, right? And so, behold the handmaid of the Lord. I'm his servant, you see. Let it done be done to me according to your word. As you've said, let it happen. So the angel then left her. That's the feast. You see, in a way, they all hang on this. All the prophecies hang on this. That God would become man. Now, they were stumbling, groping, intuitive, until he came. Who would ever have thought what these really mean is that God is going to become man. Because he loves us so much, he wants to work salvation in the very depth of our being. So he doesn't just say, oh, I forgive you all. He comes. And that's why that letter to the Hebrews, you say, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. I'm not going to desire the greatest liturgy in the world by which I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to give my son a body. That's why this fellow changes it from ear to body, you see. Holocaust and sin offerings you took no delight. Why? Because in the scroll it is written, behold, I come to do your will. And what is the will? The will of the Father. That he take all our misery, all our sin, all our sadness, all our fear, and take it to the cross, and in an act of love, give it all back to the Father and save us. Well, I got to quit now for sure. But you see what this day is? And it's not without coincidence that this is the day we try to protect conceptions. All over, and pray for them. We still